a lot was going on. It was a busy city. It was a metropolitan. There was people. People were like, back then was a, it's all about the philosophy of the Greek, not like the Athens church, but this was different. And things were happening in the church. So Paul had received all these reports, and he was talking, writing back a letter, explaining to them, there's no need to be divided over, I follow X, I follow Y. And all of that was coming into a head, but we fast forward and talk about 1 Corinthians 12, we address as the body of Christ. And that's what I want to spend our time on, because in the month, or this particular month, we'll talk a lot about the body of Christ. And I want you to understand that you're part of that. But let us look at what the Bible describes it to be. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Paul explains the particular time, what was going on. We had Jews, Gentiles, slaves, everyone was coming to church. But what connected them to be one was Jesus Christ. He says that we share one Spirit and all share the same Spirit. We're baptized into the body of one Spirit. We share the same Spirit. That all of them had been baptized into Christ. And because of that, they were interlinked. They were one people. Here's a question, or here's something I want to state. Do you realize that we are all connected? That we all form the body of Christ? That we are actually one body connected to Christ, even though we're different races, different background, different, you can go on and on, generation and on, but we are connected to Christ. If you think about it, that is a huge leap from who we identify with. We now identify ourselves as the body of Christ. That even though the world is so divided, we have a uniting factor, Jesus Christ. Even though the world hates and gets so confused, the uniting factor is Jesus Christ. That you repent and you get baptized into that body of Jesus Christ. So if you understand that, it then begins to ask, or you begin to ask yourself that the question of how do I relate with everyone else? Do I relate with them as my brothers, my sisters, the body of Christ? How do I relate with these people? Because once you begin to understand that, you begin to shift your thinking. That I see Art as my brother. Yeah, how is he your brother? He's my brother in Christ. That's how it works out there. That our relationship changes totally, that I trust him because he's my brother. We can talk about things. Does that make sense? When that is not in play, it's because we're not understanding where we're coming from and how we're all connected to the body of Christ. So some are just, yes, we're different in color, we're different in thinking, but we're united in Christ. That is an effort we have to make as a congregation and not take it for granted. You can't assume that just because I'm baptized, somehow I'm going to get along with John. No, we got to talk with John and be friends. Somehow, just because I'm baptized, we're going to get along with John. No, we got to work at that relationship and come to the understanding of how Christ sees you and sees me. When that is missing, we default to the world and how the world describes us. So we lack the depth and the understanding and the reality of how Jesus describes us as the body of Christ. And because we allow that thinking, that mindset, that mentality to thrive, we slowly but surely don't feel like we belong to the body of Christ. That happens because we're not connecting to this, that we are all part of the body of Jesus Christ. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, will not that make it any less part of the body? Let's talk about this. Sometimes we get so opinionated, so caught up in, I don't belong to the hand, I don't belong to the ear,
The Bible says you still belong to the body. And the reason we do that is because we don't understand that we all form the body of Christ and we play different roles. Everybody's important. Not just the minister, not just the elders, not just the deacons. Everyone is important in the body of Christ. You know, it's like your body. You take a lot for granted. Have you ever had, there are times when I've woken up and one muscle's not working well on my back. That's when I realize, oh my goodness, I need that muscle. I've never thought about that muscle. I can't walk straight anymore. I can't get in the car. One way, I got to back up in my car and then move my legs slowly and gently and gingerly in such a way that I can move. I was like, before I just walk in, just I'm moving. I'm like, what's going on? We take for granted each other. You know, you can take for granted your pinky. You need it. You need that pinky. There's a lot of stuff we take for granted as a church. And when that happens, if the foot says I'm not part of the body, we begin to pull on what is comfortable for us. This is what I feel comfortable with. No, we're baptized into one body. Jesus is Lord. We connect on that basis. Because Jesus is Lord, I'm going to move out of my comfort. You're going to move out of your comfort. And we're all going to unite with Christ. Does that make sense? And then he says, so the foot cannot say, we need one another. So let me also bring about the issue of relationships. Some of us are totally, you know, I don't know if it's just where I'm getting at in life. I've been asking lately, what kind of friendships do I have around the world? And I want to say the campus people, don't take for granted these relationships you have. Because you're going to hang with these relationships for a good decades coming up front. And you can ask the more mature people in the congregation. They'll tell you how it's helpful. Because at some point, you ask yourself, what was I doing with my life? And so we need one another. And so the question is, do you have people that you really connect with? Now, some of us have people around the world, but have nobody around here. You got people miles away, but what about here? Do you have anyone you talk to that you connect and walk through things and get help? You need that. The body needs that. The body needs healing from itself. Even though you have friends around the world, you need friends around here. Church, we're walking on safe people because we're determined to building a church that is safe, authentic, that takes care, that gives growth. But we all have to reach out. Here's the thing about our culture. It's a busy culture, and it does sacrifice relationships. It doesn't care about relationships. It just cares about getting the things done. We knock things off, but we have to understand that that's the illusion the world sells to us. You need people. You need a relationship to function well. The body cannot function on its own. So I cannot say I do not need anyone. We need people. But that illusion is in existence. We are sold the idea that you don't need people. We are sold the idea that if you had the money and you had the job and you had the house and you had the perfect car, you don't need people. I got to tell you something. There's a reason why businessmen take planes to go across the world to see a human being and say, can we do business? If they didn't need people, they would sit in their rooms and just do Facebook and WhatsApp and all that stuff. No, they need to get behind the veils of technology and be seen and see the other person. Say, who are you? How you doing? That's the illusion of today, that technology can work. And sometimes we want to walk behind the males and all that, but males do not meet the needs of people. We gotta have a FaceTime, not the FaceTime of an iPhone. Where you're in the same room. That's an illusion. There is nothing that can replace the human being. That connection is delivered by God. And you need people in your life. Why is it that we have more people committing suicide when we have the most advanced nation in the world? everything. Why is it that people with the most money seem to self-destroy? Because you need people. Without people, you go crazy. God designed it that you did it in first and then people. So you cannot be stuck here where it says, the hand cannot say, I do not need. We all need one another. If the whole body were an eye, how would they hear? How would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? So I want to talk a little bit about how sometimes there's a way you see things. And you insist, this is the only way to do it. Well, that's the same thing you're trying to do. There's a body. It's not just you. You have a way of seeing things, but only God knows the absolute truth. The rest of us are carrying opinions and are coming in with a lens. So we got to be open to God's influence. We can't insist that our lens is the only lens. Got to be open to God's influence and be open to scriptures. We need one another. And when you do that, you start making progress in really building a safe church, a caring church, a growing church, an authentic church, and we reach out to one another. But we can't be stuck when we're just saying it's only my way. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Can you imagine that? If your body had only the head, that would be strange. There'll be some dysfunctionalities happening right there. So we cannot build a church with one exaggeration over another. We've got to build it overall under God's principles and understand God's way of doing that. And yes, reach out to people. But as we do that, we've got to be a healthy church within. That's when it functions. Does that make sense? And that's our relationship. First with God, then with one another. Then everything else takes from that. The greatest commandment, then the second, and then we build it from there. God designs that. I say all that to say that we've got to be careful when we are holding so much on our opinion, our time, our way, to a point where we never hear God. One of the things that makes us that way is when we've been hurt. If somebody has hurt us before, it can deform you. Emotional deformation can happen and just destroy your trust in people. And that can be hard to transform and change. And the body can really struggle. We have to restore ourselves. There's work to be done. As you do with safe people, you'll see there's work to be done there. So part of being a disciple is the body heals itself. We all know that if you sleep properly, the body really has a way of healing itself when you're asleep. Resting is good. We also know that the body's different organs need one another, otherwise they can't function. And this analogy is perfect for how the church functions. We have to work together, otherwise we can get deformed from different places. You getting me, Mary? Am I too fast for you? Okay, you get me. I'll slow down. So the point is that you have to value those relationships and begin to forge them and not be held in one way over another, but submit to Jesus being Lord. You don't lose identity with that because we're all different people, but rather you find your destiny as you let Jesus lead you. Does that make sense? Don't be afraid. Connect with God and you'll see what happens. Jesus is Lord in areas that can build quiet division. Let's talk about this. There's all this from the upper notes. Some of this, sometimes family groups, you may be having divisions in your family groups and you're not dealing with that. Safe people can help you do that, but let's learn to talk about things. Does that make sense? Quiet divisions is where you don't agree, but you don't say it. But you fold your hands. You don't ever say it, but you don't agree. You just keep quiet. You're in quiet rebellion. You say, they don't understand me. You rationalize all that story. We'll see what happens. You don't come. You come late or you come for a few minutes. It's not working. Midweeks can be an issue. Now, well, you're all here, so maybe I should be talking to those who are not here, but you can reach out to them. And some people just, I know some people are working. I understand that. But some people are willy-nilly at home. I'm just tired. What happened to Jesus is Lord and deny yourself. If you're going to do anything worthwhile in your life, you have to deny yourself. We got to encourage each other to deny yourself. It's part of being godly. Deny yourself. If you leave us to ourselves, we destroy. So we need God calling us to those standards that He wants us to have. Does that make sense? What about Sundays? And some of us come at 11, never like 10. I don't know why, but we're working on 10 is good. We have some information there that can help you. And if you don't enjoy, sometimes I hear people, I don't enjoy that kind of teaching. Why do we reduce church to the church serving us instead of serving God? So why do we reduce church to like a restaurant? We come in and this is Burger King and this is McDonald's, this is Steakhouse, this is what, and all that stuff that we go to. This is Chipotle, whatever you want to go to. And just, I'm going to come and eat this and that. This is God. This is not a restaurant. So you need to begin to rethink your attitude around, why am I not giving myself 100%? And learn to talk about this and get there on time and have a good time. And just, there's a lot we can learn, and we will keep improving. That's our desire, to improve on how we do everything else. What about songs? Songs can be tricky as well, right? They can be tricky. When people go quiet, I know I'm on something. They can go tricky because of historical issues. Historical issues. They can go tricky because we just don't like them. Let's face it, we're trying to build a multi-generational songs. If you ask Steve Coyer the songs he sang that got him fired up, and if I asked anyone in the campus, French, anyone, what song would you might not necessarily connect with all the time. But if you, generational-wise, the songs will be a bit different, right? But if you take time to think about the meaning, then you worship. Even Take Me, for example. I listen to the songs, and I listen to some of the songs, I'm like, yeah, they sound pretty different. But when I pay attention to the meaning, just because of background, it makes a lot of worship for me. Before that, I'll be like, it's different. Does that make sense? So songs, you can be quietly not happy with songs. But it's not a restaurant. We've come to worship. And it's multi-generation. And we're worshiping from the teens to everyone. And even we have songs that are more that appeal to one culture over another culture. But we got to come along because Jesus is Lord, and we keep working on building that so that we all become one. So I sing not because I'm from that culture. I sing because I want to worship God. I sing because God has used that culture to minister to me today. And tomorrow they may sing something that is closer to me. I sing because if the body of Christ is functioning, there are days when you take medicine that is so painful, but it heals you. So don't only take what is sweet on the tongue, and for the most part, sweet things tend to mess you up anyway. Am I making sense? But you may begin to wrestle in your heart and ask yourself, what is it that you're quietly not really engaging in the body of Christ? And whether you know it or not, it affects the body of Christ. You may say, but nobody knows. Oh, no, that's the illusion of the devil. He wants to tell you nobody knows. God knows exactly where you sit. And that is the stuff that gets in the way of the Holy Spirit and moving things across. It's not the stuff that I see that gets in the way. I'm human. I'm totally mortal. It is stuff that God sees that gets in the way. So you got to deal with God. Forget me. I'm just trying to get to heaven. And I'm hoping that we can get together there. In the equation of things, God is a bigger way. I cannot even talk about anything. I'm just trying to worship. That's all. So learn to deal with what is unsaid. Because that is what you need to convert to making Jesus is Lord, to turn around. And when that is happening, the church get into the Holy Spirit's space and things are great and people get inspired. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. Am I going backwards or forward? The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. So the world tells us that you must be of some level to be noticed. But the body of Christ says, no, everybody is important. Very different philosophy, right? That you come in here and you're all important and God needs you and wants us to fellowship together. We need one another. And I say this and I want to ask you, so how is friendship going? How is friendship going? Not judgment, how is friendship going? Do you have friends at church? I mean, how much do you just hang out to talk, to have a good time? How is that going? No agenda. We just got to know each other, hang out, have a great time. And we got to reach across the lines as well. Get to know each other. Not just people who think like you, look like you. Different people. Reach out and see what happens. Be amazing as the body of Christ functions like that. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. God needs everyone and takes care of everyone. One of the things that helps the church to do well when you're doing all this is that we focus so much on God, we focus on building the body of Christ, and we help each other without competition, envy, or jealousy. That the church really becomes a different place. The world fosters everything else I've said, that you compete, you're envious, you're jealous of every little thing. The body of Christ does the opposite of that. That we take care of each other. But we've got to invest in time, in relationships with God and with one another. We do that, it turns around. Because people go to church, and they're just going to church, but the church doesn't give them hope, doesn't inspire, doesn't repair. I hope we're not that church. That this church gives hope, repairs, and inspires people to come to God. Otherwise, we just churchgoers, you come and go, come and go. Come and give, come and fellowship, come and find something you can serve in. Worldly wisdom, let me talk about this, how the world works, as we're talking about the body. Self-sufficient is great. Godly wisdom, we need each other. So watch out that sometimes you're trying to be self-sufficient. Some of us feel guilty of just sharing about how we're feeling. That you just feel guilty about that. Now, if we allow that to come in church, people feeling guilty and shame, the reverse of that is as soon as you deal with that, you start performing to prove yourself again that I've repented, I've repented. No, you need grace to overcome, not performance, because it is a cycle that continues. You perform, arrive, then you commit another sin, you perform, and the cyclical nature of it is that you burn out eventually. You guys get tired. But when you really understand the grace of God, you can't say, you know, I need relationships. That's how I walk through these things. I get open and I turn around. Do what is comfortable. That's what the world tells us. The body of Christ tells us, deny yourself. Find some time. Do something. I'm in charge. No, that's the world. God is in charge. That's the truth. I mean, think about it. You're not sure you'll get home today, are you? Now, you have your mouth down. You'll turn around and all this will happen. But you don't know what will happen. What if there's an earthquake? I'm not saying it'll happen. Don't let me not scare you. I'm just talking. I'm trying to give you the whole idea of how it's God who is in charge. Do you follow that? But we assume that because I have a car, somehow get home. Well, that's true to a certain extent, but the person in charge is God that makes sure that you don't run into an accident. You do your part, but he does the bigger part. So that's how the body of Christ then functions. We all walk in together. This makes for harmony among members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is part of it. So let's talk a little bit about the harmony aspect. Because this makes, if these relationships are functioning, harmony comes. So let me talk about car man. If you're a car person, if you don't have oil in your engine, it's going to grind. You need oil, right? To bring some harmony, to make sure that all the things are working well. If you're a musician, people need to sing their voices. Not the same voice, their voices. If you like jazz, you can't have a jazz being played by a drum guy only. Now, sometimes there are drummers that do these shows, but ideally, for harmony to come, there'll be different instruments contributing, right? And that is something as a church we need to understand, that we come from different ends, but we can contribute to harmony together. Does that make sense? Why? Because of God. It's a beautiful thing. When John shared how people see it from outside, we from inside may not see it like that. Because we've been here a long time, right? And we may just be seeing, oh, what's not working. What about what's working? And how can we improve on that? Does that make sense? So don't take it for granted. Let's improve on what's working. So if one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. We've got to be compassionate with people that are going through a tough time, sickness, financial challenges. Just let's be compassionate and reach out to people. Learn to reach out in the family group and find out, how are you? I didn't see you. Are you okay? Sometimes people don't show and nobody calls. And you go to the same family group. It's not just the leader's role. We all need to be involved in that aspect. Make sense? It's not just the leader's call. We all can find out, are we okay? People get sick for some time. We don't see them. They show up. Oh, good to see you. What happened? I was sick. Really? We don't even stop to say, so what went on? It's good to see you, and keep walking. Sometimes, well, we're in a hurry. Where are we going? We go home. We cook. We watch TV. We take a nap. It doesn't take a moment and find out how people are going, what they're going through. Does that make sense? Then it says, if one part suffers, so then it says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is part of it. We are really the body of Christ, and we are part of it. So church, today I really wanted just to bring about this. That let's understand that church is not just coming to this. It's being the hope. It's being the reconciliation ministry. It's being the relationships that show Christ among us. It's changing and overcoming our own conflicts within. We have things that we hold to ourselves, things that we know that they're not of Christ. That walking through that so we can have relationships that really show Christ among us. And we all have different journeys with that. That's not a problem. What is a problem is when you don't walk at it. When you hold there and stick that this is the truth. That is not the truth of God. That's your truth. You've got to come to God's truth. Does that make sense? So I'll end with this. You don't get harmony when everybody sings the same note. Everybody has to be in the right place, right? The musicians, Malachi and all you people, they'll tell you that that's true. So I'm not asking you to sing the same note, but I'm asking you to make Jesus Lord and find your role and then make it work. Does that make sense? We do that. It's amazing. I think that one of the biggest challenges I want to put out this month is, let's go after being a part of the body. And that is, yes, a relationship with God, with one another, and getting involved in giving hope to the world, and giving hope to the neighborhood, and giving hope to one another. If we do these things well, the body of Christ will function well. Now, you may be far behind somewhere. Get someone you can talk to and walk towards coming where it works well. And you need to reach out to those that you don't see and come here. They may not be happy the first day you ask them, but show care, show love, be authentic, and they'll come along eventually. Amen? God bless you.